I obviously don't sing that often enough. Yeah, you may be seated. If you're visiting with us this morning, we're thrilled to have you here at Lake Country Bible Church. And if you look at a pouch in the seat back in front of you, there should be an envelope there with a pen and a form. We would sure love it if you'd fill out the information on that, put it in the basket on the by the door on the way out this morning. Let us have a little information about you so we could maybe reach you, pray for you, and welcome you, and let us know how thrilled we are to have you here today. So, thank you. Opening prayer. Next.
Morning, Lake Country. Happy Easter. Happy Resurrection Day. He is risen.
He is risen indeed.
Oh, I love that. Amen. Join me in your bulletin for a few announcements right quick. Go straight into that. Prayer meeting is every Sunday morning at 9 a.m. in the anteroom back here, or just through this anteroom. Everyone is welcome for that. If you can be here at 9 a.m., please join us for that. Ray and Ruth are always glad to have anyone in attendance with that. So join in prayer and fellowship there for just a few minutes before we start our services. Women's Bible study is Tuesday nights at 6:30 p.m. Terry Buckler leads that study in the Book of Ruth at the moment. All women, of course, are invited and encouraged to bring a friend. Wednesday night services, 6 p.m. Of course, everyone is welcome here for that. We meet here in the sanctuary for that one. Another big one that we're going to announce, this isn't the first week we've mentioned this, but April 22nd is our spring cleaning day. List of tasks are being created. Plan on volunteering if you'd like. It's always a day of good hard work, but also great fellowship. It's an opportunity for, if you're new in the church, to get to know some of the people that you don't get time to talk to on a Sunday afternoon, because we all hit the doors pretty quickly to go grab some lunch or whatever, and it's just a great day. I've had some of my best fellowships have been outside when we're either raking leaves or we're cleaning gutters, or the ladies will be in here cleaning the sanctuary, vacuuming the floors, chairs. I mean, the women seem to enjoy that a lot. We have a lot of tasks for the ladies. Outside, we'll be trimming trees and who knows what else. There's a lot of tasks there. If you have something in mind or would like to volunteer for that, you can see me or Terry Posey. He's not here today, but he'll be here next week. And just let us know you're going to be here so we can kind of plan a number of tasks relative to who might be in attendance. Spring Women's Brunch is Saturday, April 29th at 10:30 a.m. at the home of our pianist, Brenda Smith. She's hosting that. Sign-up sheet is in the foyer. Brenda lives at Holly Lake Ranch, so carpooling will be arranged. Ladies, you do not want to miss this opportunity for fellowship. I guarantee you'll enjoy it. Brenda will enjoy having you in her home. Join me in prayer if you would, please. Heavenly Father, we come to you right now on this day, thanking you for this fellowship, for this place of worship, but especially thanking you for your Son, his completed work on the cross, his resurrection. We thank you for your plan of salvation, that each of us, through faith, may have eternal life, be called your sons and daughters. Thank you for your promise. Thank you for keeping it. Thank you for being our good shepherd. Help us as sheep to find our way. Lead us as you would. May we follow you. May we hear your voice. Guide us, Lord. Guide us in wisdom and truth and grace, that we would know your will for our lives in sharing the gospel, making sure that everyone in our community understands and has had an opportunity to believe. Thank you for this church and its faithfulness to that truth, to that mission. May it ever be so. In Jesus' name, amen. Join me in scripture, if you would. Book of Matthew. We're going to last chapter of the book, chapter 28. This is a long one. Terrell suggested I probably should bring a chair up here for this, but I think I'll make it. Matthew 28, 1 through 20. We enjoy reading Scripture here, don't we? Let's do that. In the end of the Sabbath, as it began to dawn towards the first day of the week, came Mary Magdalene and the other Mary to see the sepulchre. And behold, there was a great earthquake, for the angel of the Lord descended from heaven and came and rolled back the stone from the door and sat upon it. His countenance was like lightning, and his raiment white as snow. And for fear of him, the keepers did shake and became as dead men. And the angel answered and said unto the women, "Fear not ye, for I know that ye seek Jesus which was crucified. He is not here, for he is risen, as he said. Come see the place where the Lord lay, and go quickly and tell his disciples that he is risen from the dead, and behold, he goeth before you into Galilee. There shall ye see him. Lo, I have told you." And they departed quickly from the sepulchre with fear and great joy, and did run to bring his disciples word. And as they went to tell his disciples, behold, Jesus met them, saying, "All hail." And they came and held him by his feet and worshipped him. Then Jesus said unto them, "Be not afraid. Go tell my brethren that they go into Galilee, and there shall they see me." Now when they were going, behold, some of the watch came into the city and showed unto the chief priests all the things that were done. And when they were assembled with the elders and had taken counsel, they gave large money unto the soldiers, saying, "Say ye, his disciples came by night and stole him away while we slept. And if this come to the governor's ears, we will persuade him and secure you." So they took the money and did as they were taught. And this saying is commonly reported among the Jews until this day. Then the 11 disciples went away into Galilee, into a mountain where Jesus had appointed them. And when they saw him, they worshipped him, but some doubted. And Jesus came and spake unto them, saying, "All power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you, and lo, I am with you alway, even unto the end of the world. Amen."
Well, good morning, church. Sound man, is everything working?
Good. It's good to look out and see each one of these good-looking members that are here, visitors that are here. Well, maybe some not so much, but it's good to have you this morning. Resurrection Day. We ought to rejoice. God is good. God is faithful. God still saves today, and I'm thankful for that. This morning, I look out and see some folks that I've not seen in a while. I look out and see some folks that I've not seen at all before. And let me express to you my deepest appreciation for you being here. It's good to have them. Brenda, fabulous job as usual. Brad, that same goes for you also. I am reminded of the young ministerial a graduate, studied, majored in pastor studies, and he thought that it might be a good thing if he joined the police force before he went into full-time ministry, because that would give him an example of what's going on in the world on the less than lawful side. And so he went and applied at the local police department and was taken on as a new policeman, but he had to go to the academy. While he was in the academy, the question was posed to the group of young men that were there, what would you do if there was an angry crowd? How would you disperse them? And it was quiet. Nobody said anything. So this recent ministerial graduate raised his hand, and the instructor recognized him, and he said, "Do you have a solution?" He said, "Yes, sir." And the instructor said, "What is that?" He said, "I'd take up an offering." So we'll try not to disperse you by taking up an offering, but it's good to have you. Let's look to the Lord in a word of prayer this morning, if you would. Father, we come to you this morning, and we are so grateful for this time of year in which we can celebrate, Father, your son's resurrection. Remember his death on the cross, that cruel sacrifice that he paid for my sins, and in fact for the sins of the whole world. And we do thank you so much for his obedience to you, his love for us, that he would lay down his life as payment for our sin. Father, we thank you for his resurrection. Oh, how we thank you for his resurrection, because that completed his work here on this earth. Father, now we can become your sons and your daughters simply by faith in Christ and what he's done for us to get us to heaven. We ask, Father, that you'd guide our thoughts this morning as we look into your word and see what you would have us to hear and to consume today as bread, that thing that is so vital to our health, bread from the word. And Father, we thank you for that. Guide our thoughts, we pray, in Christ's name. Amen. Some 2,000 plus years ago, the sound of a hammer hitting the spike heads that were driven through the hands of Jesus Christ as he laid there on the cross and they nailed him to the cross. As the spikes went between or into both legs or feet as he was there on the ground as they nailed him to the cross. The thud of the cross entering the hole and then to the bottom of the hole, and the jolt there that was felt by the Lord Jesus Christ in paying for our sin debt. You see, sin has a payment to be made, and the payment is death. And you and I this morning, who know Jesus Christ as our personal Savior, have accepted that death payment that Christ made for us, trusted in it to get us to heaven. And that's what we're going to be looking at this morning as we see what the Holy Spirit would have us to see and to comprehend this morning. As I was beginning to think and plan ahead some days ago, in fact, over a week ago, as to what God would have me bring this morning, I wanted to look at some things that might be of benefit to you as I ran across some of these truths in my study. So this morning we're going to be looking at the beneficial results of the resurrection for the believer. The beneficial results of the resurrection for the believer. We find as we look at our first verse this morning in Romans chapter 1, verse 4, Paul was writing, and Paul said, "And declared to be the Son of God with power, according to the Spirit of holiness, by the resurrection from the dead." You see, Christ's death proves to us, and his resurrection proves to us that Christ is God's Son, that he made that sacrificial death that we might have eternal life as a free gift, that our future might be secure in God's dwelling place that we call heaven, and we might be with him forever in that place of rest, that place of glory, that place of rejoicing, being in Christ's presence from that day forward. Now, we can be ushered into heaven by one of two ways, either by death, physical death, or by the resurrection, I mean, by the rapture. We find that those are the only two ways that we find in the Word of God that we can enter in to God's rest in this place called heaven. God's Son, who died for us, His death payment was accepted by God as payment for the sins of the whole world. Not just the sins of the whole world this day in 2023, but the sins of the world from Adam's time right on up till the rapture of the church. Christ's death is beneficial. His resurrection is beneficial. His death and faith in it brings about salvation, security in where we're going to spend in eternity. But also His resurrection has other great benefits for us who know Jesus Christ as our personal Savior. By the resurrection from the dead, nobody had ever heard of that before. Jesus Christ, as we heard in Sunday school this morning, He says, "I am the door. I am the door." We find in Scripture that no one comes to the Father, God Himself, except by way of Jesus Christ and His death on the cross. We find that Jesus' resurrection was guaranteeing our perfect standing before God Himself. You see, Christ predicted His death. Christ predicted the method by which He was to be crucified. Jesus Christ predicted the number of days that He would be in that tomb. Jesus Christ predicted His resurrection. All of these events which He predicted were accomplished by His death on the cross and His resurrection from the dead. We find in Romans chapter 4, verse 25, who was delivered, Christ, speaking of Christ, who was delivered for our offenses and raised again for our justification. I was a child when I trusted Christ as my personal Savior, 12 years old. My mom and dad shared with me how I could know that I was going to heaven when I died. And I was in just about as much deep sin as a 12-year-old can get. But I was worried about where I'd spend eternity. And they shared with me late one night when I went to them and asked them if they would tell me how I could go to heaven. 12 years old, I was saved. I was heaven ready. I was as complete as I could ever be complete because I had and have still today Christ's righteousness to go to heaven on. He said that Christ was delivered for our offenses, the payment, and He was raised again for our justification. I remember sitting in church as a young man, 12, 13 years old, on slatted pews. If you think these chairs can be uncomfortable at times, they're not near as uncomfortable as slatted pews. Anybody ever spent time on slatted pews? Yes, sir. I have too. Not very comfortable. But hearing our pastor say and to define what justification is, made perfect. As he would say back then, and I still remember clearly, he said, justification simply means just as if I had never sinned. That's how God sees us after we trust Christ as our personal Savior. You see, heaven is a perfect place. It's not a good place. Sometimes I will say that when I'm speaking and you see people's head pop up and their mouths drop open. Heaven is not a good place. It's not. It's a perfect place. And in order to get to heaven, you don't have to be good. And they'll drop their mouths open on that too. You don't have to be good. You have to be perfect. And the only way that we can be perfect and have the perfection that God requires to get in His perfect heaven is through faith in Jesus Christ and His death on the cross to get us to heaven. Christ's resurrection assures our faith is not in vain. And again, we find he was raised for our justification. It's not in vain, our faith. Have you ever doubted your salvation? I have. I'd get into mischief. That's what I'd call it. My mom would call it something else. And I would pay the price for her definition of it and not mine. But she would share with me that these things are not honoring and glorifying to the Lord. That was the way she taught. But in heaven is a heavenly place. It's a perfect place. We find here that our faith sometimes is in question. Have you ever had your faith questioned? Is that enough? Is that all? Is that all I have to do? Let me say this morning, upon the Word of God, that's all you can do. Not all you have to do, it's all you can do in order to get into God's perfect heaven. And Christ's resurrection assures our faith that it's not in vain. We find in verse 14 of 1 Corinthians, "And if Christ be not risen, then is our preaching vain, and your faith is also vain, if Christ be not risen." You see, Christ foretold his death. He foretold his resurrection. And if that is not true, then our faith is in vain, if Christ be not risen. But this morning, I'm so thankful that we have this time in which to remember Christ's resurrection from the dead. Our faith this morning, my friends, is not in vain. God is truthful. He does not lie. And we find here in verse 4 of 1 Corinthians 15, that he was buried and that he rose again the third day according to the Scriptures. Everything that Christ predicted, he fulfilled. The resurrection guarantees our right standing before God. What if I've done something that God does not forgive? Let me say this. God's Word tells us when we trust Christ as our personal Savior, God removes our sin as far as the east is from the west and remembers it no more. I can just see picture in my mind God sitting upon his throne. And I go to God and I say, you know, I've messed up. It was not just mischief I got into. I got into sin. My life has been sinful. I can just picture God sitting on his throne. And he said, I don't remember that. I don't remember that. I don't remember that. God's Word says he removes our sin as far as east from the west, and he remembers it no more. You see, should we confess those times that we fail God when we sin? Yes, for our benefit. For our benefit. We find if we confess our sin, he's faithful and just to forgive us our sin and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Folks, we've been cleansed if we know Christ as our personal Savior. Our sins have been removed as far as the east is from the west, and God remembers them no more. What a God we have. The resurrection guarantees our right standing, as I said, before God. Guarantees our dwelling with him forever. 1 Corinthians 15, verse 7, "And if Christ be not raised, your faith is vain, ye are yet in your sins." Verse 22, "For as in Adam all die." But the good news here is, "Even so in Christ shall all be made alive." You see, death happens to this old fleshly body. When we trust Christ as our personal Savior, we have been given a new birth, a spirit birth. God's Word says that there's no peace between our new spirit birth and our old spirit, the fleshly spirit. For He says in His Word, the flesh lusteth against the spirit, and the spirit against the flesh. It's a constant battle. That's what we see in our lives as we go about our living, that there's a battle between the flesh and the spirit. We find here that this old body will pass away if we live long enough. If we do not get raptured before it dies, this old body will die. This old body will be either laid in the ground or put in a furnace and reduced to ashes. That's what this old body has to look forward to, the fleshly birth. The spirit birth has everything to look forward to. The reunion with those family members who have gone on before, those family members that we remember so fondly, that's what this spirit birth has to look forward to see our Savior face to face, to, I'm sure, not only see our Savior, but to see those loved ones of ours who've gone on before us, to be forever united with them, as well as with Jesus Christ and God Himself. You see, as we stand before God, Satan will try to condemn us. In this life and following the rapture, Satan will try to condemn us. No one here on this earth can condemn us. No one can say, that's not enough. God's Word says, trust in me. That is enough. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish. God's Word is truthful, but have everlasting life. So we find no one can condemn us. But you know, we as believers many times condemn ourselves. Thought about that? Have you ever experienced that? Boy, I have. But we ourselves cannot even condemn us. Why? Because we have not only eternal life, but in heaven, as long as we're here on this earth, in heaven, we have someone in heaven who's pleading our case. God's Word says that we have an advocate. We have an attorney, if you would, pleading our case with God Himself before the throne. He's on the right hand of God this morning, making intercession for you and I. He is busy being our advocate as our minds wander to things that are not glorifying to Him, as maybe we are involved in things that would be condemned by the world and maybe other believers. Christ is in heaven making intercession for us. We find in Romans chapter 8, verse 34, who is he that condemneth? Is it? It's Christ that died, yea, rather, that is risen again, who is even at the right hand of God, who also maketh intercession for us. I misquoted there. Who is he that condemneth? Is it Christ that died? Yea, rather, that is risen again, who is even at the right hand of God, who also maketh intercession for us. There was an account in the Word of God. We know it's a true account because names are mentioned. And when Christ raised this one, Lazarus, from the dead, Christ told Martha, Mary's sister, eternal life is given to all who believe. We read that in John chapter 11, verse 25. Jesus said unto her, I am the resurrection and the life. He that believeth in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. Verse 26, and whosoever liveth and believeth in me shall never die. Believest thou this? Verse 27, she, Martha, said this, "Yes, Lord," or "Yea, Lord, I believe that thou art the Christ, the Son of God, which should come into the world." Faith in what Christ said. She exercised that. She received eternal life when she accepted that and trusted in that. We find that Christ was really, he was delivered for our offenses, not those that were on earth when he was here, but for the sins of all mankind of all time. Christ was delivered. He was nailed to that cross. He hung there. A spear pierced his side, but he hung there and died, shed his blood that we might have everlasting life. Christ's resurrection this morning, my friend, gives us an example of how to live in this old world. Christ rose. He was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father. Even so, we also should walk in newness of life. Romans chapter 8, latter part of verse 4. We've read this morning the account in Matthew chapter 28. But in Matthew chapter 12, we find two verses. Jesus was talking to the scribes and the Pharisees, and he said this, "Then some of the scribes and Pharisees said to him, 'Teacher, we want to see a sign from you.' But he answered and said to them, 'An evil and adulterous generation craves for a sign, and yet no sign will be given to it but the sign of Jonah the prophet. For just as Jonah was 3 days and 3 nights in the belly of the great fish, so will the Son of Man be 3 days and 3 nights in the heart of the earth.'" That's exactly what happened. We find that is not accepted by many, many religious leaders today. By many who stand behind the pulpits, many who stand in their tennis shoes and their ragged jeans and their $200 t-shirts that they have on, and all of the lights and all of the music and all the productions, you don't hear that many times today. Belief. Believest thou this? Jesus states that they were going to crucify him. Believest thou this? And then said, on the third day, he will raise up. Believest thou this? Jesus, one more time, connects his death to his resurrection. So we find that the resurrection has many benefits for us who know Christ as our personal Savior. We find this morning in the book of John, chapter 20, verse 1, "The first day of the week cometh Mary Magdalene early, when it was yet dark, into the sepulchre, and seeth the stone taken away from the sepulchre." This is what we celebrate on this day that we set aside as Resurrection Day. We find that's exactly what happened. Christ predicted it. There was no failure in fulfilling Scripture and fulfilling His Word. He was crucified. He rose again from the dead because of His love for you and His love for me. And if it were not for Him, I would stand before you this morning condemned to a Christless eternity in a place called hell. But because God loves us that much, He sent His only begotten Son that He would pay our death payment. And He would give us eternal life as a free gift if we would simply believe what He has to say about Christ and intercessory work on the cross. I like to use an example. I've used it for years. This is just an old wallet. Not much money in it. In fact, I don't carry money in my wallet. I carry it in a clip. Sometimes I can't find it. But this is a wallet, not a Bible. I'd like to use it as an illustration. Let this hand represent you and I. and this wallet represents sin. God's Word says, I love you, but I hate that sin. The reason He hates that sin is because our sin, letting this hand represent Christ Himself, that sin separates us from Christ, from God Himself who loves us and wants us to spend eternity with Him. It separates us. And there's many men standing behind the pulpit this morning saying, if you work hard enough, if you're sincere enough, if you give money enough money, if you do this or do that, you'll get rid of that sin. God's Word says it's not of works, Ephesians 2:8 and 9. For by grace, it's undeserved mercy, are you saved through faith, that's belief and trust, and not of yourselves. It is a gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. Ephesians 2:8 and 9. Jesus Christ, being sinless, being perfect because of His love for us and His obedience to His Father, He came and died a crucifixion death on the cross, giving us His righteousness. He's taken our sin, paid for it, removed it as far as the east is from the west, gives us His righteousness to go to heaven on. And that can be yours this morning, that eternal life, that perfection that God requires to get into heaven can be yours if you would just simply by faith take God at His word, take Christ at His word, who doesn't lie, who has fulfilled Scripture, can be yours before you walk out of here this morning. Let's look to the Lord in word of prayer. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed, nobody looking around. You're here this morning, and that makes sense to you this morning, that you would just simply take God at His word in the best way you know how, trust Him and what He's done for you to get you to heaven. I'd count it a privilege to pray for you in the days and the weeks to come, because after you trust Christ as your Savior, Satan will try to come in and cause you to have all kinds of doubts, misgivings, all of this type of thing, and that's when you need someone who cares about you to pray for you, and I'd count it a privilege to pray for you in the days and weeks to come. But I don't know who you are. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed. I don't know who you are, but I'd count it a privilege to pray for you. The only way I know is to ask you, with heads bowed and eyes closed, I'll be the only one looking around. I won't call you by name. I won't call you forward. There'll be no aisle walk. It's simply between you and the Lord. But I'd count it a privilege to pray for you. If you're trusting Christ this morning for the first time, you've never done it before, would you just slip up your hand till I see it, and then you can put it down. Anybody? Anybody? Fine. Father, we come to You this morning. We thank You so much for the gift that You offer freely to anyone who would just simply trust You and what You've done for them to get them to heaven. Father, we thank You for the simplicity and the clarity of how to get to heaven. And Father, we pray that Your Holy Spirit would make application where application is necessary. Father, we pray, Father, for Your will to be done in the lives of those folks that are here and in mine also. And Father, we thank You so much for this resurrection day in which we remember and honor Christ's resurrection from the dead. Thank You once again for who You are, and Father, for who we are in Christ. Thank You. We ask these things in Christ's name. Amen.
Please, number 26.